Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to YouthSWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Hello, Remnant Radio listeners. Hello, Remnant Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. We're having technical difficulties. One moment, and we'll be right into the broadcast. Thank you. Well, we're going to be talking about this month in Theory Thursday, talking about fortifying the skill with the gift, making sure that there is a balance with our operation in music ministry or any ministry we are, whether it's dance or theater. When we act out a skit or a full scored play, every line has the power of God, and even the ones that are of a negative tone, because it's depicting a story. And ultimately, the objective or the purpose of that particular play piece needs to be in your heart's mission. As you act, as you're acting, it should be in your heart and your mind the ultimate message that is supposed to be gotten across to the audience. So that every line has power behind it. When it comes to singing, every note, the anointing of God should flow through every note. I have seen this happen with my own ministry. I've seen it happen with ministries I've come up under, ministries I've been able to witness live, and even watching it by some type of visual recording, video recording of different types. I've seen when the anointing of it comes through the recording device, whether it's a DVD or after the day of VHS, it comes through and does not die. I've seen some people have gone on to be with the Lord who are no longer here physically, and the tape still contains the anointing. There is a anointing on the ministry that they did in the tape. When it comes to playing, whether it's keyboard or just guitar, a brass instrument, and orchestra in Hebrew church, every member counts, and as the anointing flows freely through every member, just as Paul gives the analogy of the body of Christ, the physical body organism, where every member supplies, every joint supplies, every joint within the orchestra or the band supplies. So important to not try to overplay someone else or to try to showboat. As the term that's used in sports, it's a team effort. And there's no I in team, and it's about a oneness. God is one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and we have to operate one with Him and one with each other. The Bible, and many texts or excerpts in the Pauline epistles, Paul talked about by love, serve one another. He says that in Galatians and Ephesians. Paul mentions it, Peter mentions it, as far as submitting one to another, Timothy, which is mentioned in the book of Timothy, as Paul wrote to Timothy, submit yourself one to another. This is not only applicable when it comes to relationship between the ministry and laity, or husband and wife, but it's also related to those who operate as colleagues in the gospel. Or in the church of God, whether you're a minister of music, or if you are one who plays the bongos in a band, it's important for you to submit yourself one to another. The minister of music submitting himself to one of the members of the band, ensuring that there is one voice and one sound, a voice of a divine voice, and the divine sound comes out in your music. As you play, the anointing is able to flow because there is no flesh that is trying to glory in its presence. So it can't even happen. And if you try to get prideful and fleshly, the Spirit will immediately remove himself or in some form show that he is pleased. And what is supposed to be done in the service is hindered because of you having your little moment. It's time out for that. Time for us to be one, time for us to operate in a way that we are excellent and there is no hindrance, and the anointing can channel through us with no hindrance, no stoppage, no type of place given to the devil to operate in any form. The service is full of the Spirit. Because we're full of the Spirit, operating in the fullness of the Spirit in our ministry gifts, along with the pastor, along with the preacher of that particular service. We are one with the message and the purpose that is to be served in that particular worship setting. There's a purpose for every worship service. And it's important for us to be one in our devotion to our personal with God so that we can operate in that very thing as we go in the corporate worship setting. It's no having to change channels. You're already set on that channel to the point where you walk into the service and you're able to enter into the gates with thanksgiving and enter into the courts with praise without having to get quote-unquote prayed up. You pray on a consistent basis. You hear the voice of God on a consistent basis. You're in the Word on a consistent basis. You practice and rehearse in your particular skill on a consistent basis where they're all one and in a balance and you embody what you're called to do. There are two extremes prevalent in the local church concerning the ministry of art. And there, they are ministry performance having skill, but no power, or even those that have power possessing little or no skill. Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight is his delight. In this month's Very Thursday broadcast, we're going to talk about the aspect of skill needed to add to the dynamic of the power of God dwelling in us. The language of music, what it is, and how to speak it. Structuring the operations of the gift that we operate in, from disciplined rehearsals to powerfully effective ministry performances. Vocalists, join your power, the power that has been placed in you by the Holy Ghost, and the skill in your gift, and excel greatly. Excel from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and excel in the effect that your ministry has. Musicians, join the power with the skill in your particular gift and excel as well. Dancers, dance to the degree where you embody the art of the heart of God. Your body structure and the form that you take with each dance step that is choreographed for your that particular dance for that service. Every move you make has an art to it, and it's not just pleasant to the eye, but it's pleasant to the spirit and to the soul, because the power of God is operating in you and just graceful. The grace of God just fills the place in a peace of God, and the message in the particular song that you're dancing to is able to be amplified even more through what you are depicting through your body language. That's really to what I believe and understand dance to have a purpose for in the church, where it embodies the message of the gospel that is actually being played either by a live band or by a recorded music recording, whether it's instrumental or if it's instrumentation with also vocal recordings on it. We are to, when we dance, we're to embody what God is wanting to say or to get across or minister to the audience, to the congregation. I've seen it countless times, both sides. I've seen it where a dancer has practiced to a degree where the skill is intact, where they don't have to guess in their mind, it's not distracted because they're trying to figure out what step is next and they're counting in their head. You have to be so comfortable with the techniques of this particular gift skill that you have, that you're able to play or dance or sing or act to the degree that you're so comfortable that the power of God is able to channel through you, and you're even able to improvise according to the Spirit of God leading you. I've seen this, and I believe that it can be even greater in this day and time, where the improv of the ministry performances, whatever form it is, vocal, instrumental, dance, or theater, acting. I've seen where persons either act out something and a message gets across. I've seen people get saved off of a play. They run to the altar because the message in the play was depicted through each of the actors. They embodied exactly what the message was. I've seen it with even instrumentals. no singing, no words, but there was such an anointing in the playing of that particular keyboardist, the pianist, or the guitar. I didn't even see the guitarist playing, and the anointing filled the place. No words at all. And the Spirit of God filled the church that they were playing at, and tears were going down the faces of various ones in the audience, and people's hearts were changed, and I believe that some even gave their lives to God because of the anointing. It was a very strong anointing. And Mickey has one particular service a couple years back. I guess it's been about 10 years. Maybe not that long, but close to that. That I witnessed a guitarist playing under the anointing. It was just outstanding. It stood out from someone just playing an instrument just because they like it. He's very annoying to play. He's been playing since he was a child. I know him to rehearse on a regular basis. That's the church that I just was born and raised at. It's one of the handful of services that were power packed almost the entire time, particularly when the instrumental was for. And it's important for us to be in a place with God, first of all, in our personal devotion, where we can have that and there's no hindrances, where our prayer time is consistent, we talk to God on a regular basis, we know His word, so then we go to play, we embody exactly what our devotion has been the entire time. Our worship is consistent, and we're able to worship and praise Him. As I said before, we're able to go into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we're thankful to Him. We're able to bless, we're able to make known His name. With the glory of God backing it up, people see the glory on us and hear it. Do what we play, do what we sing, do what we're saying, or acting, or and our dance, our body language, not being fleshly, not being worldly, not being secular, but being very divine, godly, and the anointing filling it, embodying the anointing, embodying that art and that skill. As well, there's a joining, a fusing together of that. We're going to talk about that in this month. Tonight is kind of an introduction. I'm going to do an overview of what we're going to talk about. Speak to each professional in the ministry of VR. Vocalist, I want to talk to you first. When it comes to singing, of course, the world even knows this. It is important for us to rehearse. And when it comes to rehearsing, particularly in charismatic churches, their charismatic or Pentecostal churches, I've seen this. I was born and raised with Pentecostal church, so I can't speak on it. I believe I'm an authority figure on that. When it comes to rehearsing, our rehearsals can be lazy and can be very unstructured, no structure at all, just, okay, we're going to sing these songs, so, okay, let's start with the first one, and then we start singing, spend about an hour or two on that song, and then go to the next one, with no objective of what we want to perfect for that particular rehearsal. Now, some of us do, and some of us don't, and those of us who don't, we need to incorporate that. So with every rehearsal should have an objective, and the objective should be skill-wise as well as spirit, and what I call faith. The skill ensures that what you do is correct and precise. The spirit portion makes sure that you are correct as far as the word and the will of God is. And as far as the stage, that ensures that your presence is matching what you have designated for the skill and the spirit of the particular thing that you're doing exudes. So your skill is built and developed by consistent practicing. And it's developed by objective-driven rehearsals. So each rehearsal, for example, choir leaders, your rehearsals, I suggest, should be divided into seasons. So you have seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, and for each season, there's an objective and a theme for that season overall, and then objective dynamics for each of the three categories I just said to you, skill, spirit, and stage. So for season 1, you want to do whatever the prophetic word is for the church as a whole for that season. For example, we all know, and it's been said in this broadcast countless times, 2009 is a time of manifestation. So the objective for the rehearsal is that the glory of God is manifested to a greater degree than it has been in past times. So you have to, so this is going to take some preparation. So you choir directors, you're not just going to have to learn the songs and know how to break it down for each part and some of the parts of how to sing it, but you're going to have to take time, even in your prayer time, set aside some time to speak to the Spirit of God and have Him speak to you concerning how to carry out the embodying the particular word for the global church as well as the local church. Now, there's specific direction and instruction for each local church according to what the Lord is saying to the leader of that body. So it's important for ministers of music and choir leaders to be have the relationship great, actually, I'm not going to say good, great relationships with the pastors of that particular church body. It's actually becoming very popular for ministers of music or music departments to be so separate from the pastors. The only time they have any time together is in the services, and that's unacceptable. It's important that I believe that the pastor and all ministry leaders, which would include the music ministry leaders, those who are in a position that are called to supervise and actually initiate and carry out the operations of that particular music department, should meet with the pastor on a regular basis and know the heart of the pastor. How can you work in a local church and not know the heart of the pastor? It's not just about coming there, putting in hours, and getting a paycheck, those of you who are paid. It's about coming there and actually operating on what the operating in the gifts that God has put in you in the way that He has for you to operate in it and at the place. And that's actually a major challenge, because some of us just go to a place because the salary looks good or because of the notoriety that's possible there, the potential of notoriety. Oh, this pastor is renowned, so I'm going to go here. I'm going to apply here because it's renowned. My name will be known in the music circuit because my pastor is known, and I'll be able to travel with him. That's your objective. That's your reason for going. Nowhere in what I just expressed to you of a scenario was God mentioned. This is where God has for me to be. This is the church body that I'm supposed to contribute to the vision and mission of this particular ministry being forthcoming, coming out, manifested, growing, developing. It's time for us to stop being selfish and to actually collaborate with our pastors and work with them, and vice versa, the pastor being open to work with the minister of music and the ministry leaders, period, when we're talking about music ministry. So it's important for the pastor and the minister of music to be one as far as the mission and vision of the church is, and the prophetic projection of the years and months and weeks, the details of the hour, what is to be done in each worship service. Are they to always be the same? There should be a structure, but are they to always be the same? Bible study, should it be the same structure as Sunday? Or should it be a different structure? And who should lead it? Now, every detail, I don't believe the pastor should have to sit there and see to the minister of music, but there should be a collaboration there where there's reporting. See, this, going into these dynamics, we shy away from this because it takes work. But laziness, we see it in Proverbs, countless times, I'm not going to go to scripture, but we see it in Proverbs, and laziness is frowned upon by God. And it important for us to be excellent. God is an excellent God. He does everything in decency and in order, and it's important for us to do proper preparation. It's important for us to do proper communication amongst each other, and that will in turn bring proper execution and application. And we'll see the effect that we've been talking about needs to happen in the church. We'll see the gifts operate with freedom. Music, as we're going to go over in one of the first broadcasts following this one of the Theory Thursdays, music has a language, not just theoretically, or theory as far as like there's notes, there's rhythms, there's key signatures, there is chord progressions, there's crescendoing and decrescendoing, there's certain techniques to play the piano, certain techniques to play in the playing an instrument, there's certain techniques of singing and dance, but it also has a language of reach, if you will. Music reaches beyond language barriers. You cannot be able to say one word to a person in their language, but be able to play something and communicate 1,000 words to them. It's just a power that has been placed within that medium that I believe is ordained by God. And the enemy tries to take that, and in his counterfeit way, he tries to take that and distort many people's lives through various types of secular music, particularly the more dark ones. And I could list them, and I probably will in future broadcasts. Certain ones like heavy metal or punk music has a harsh sound, usually uses minor modes, and there are demonic activity that even happens in the recording sessions that people don't even consider as a possibility. And even with the music that is more prone to the black community, there are certain activities happening right in the recording session so that there's a certain feel, particularly sexual, to go across the airwaves. And we wonder why our teenagers are doing certain things and experimenting with sexual activity, but yet their music collection would tell us the story. If we would even just look at the titles of the songs, it'll read right back to us exactly what we are questioning. Why are they doing this? It'll read right back to us. Support us to clean up our music collections and to know that God is concerned about every aspect of our life, every aspect of our worship and our devotion, which is our entire life, our life's devotion. What we listen to, what we do, what we say, who we hang around, every aspect. Not to the point of he's standing over us waiting for us to do something wrong, but that he lives in us and enables us to do right. It says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in us to will and do of his good pleasure. He not only works in us the actual acting or doing of his good pleasure, but actually desiring and then doing it. The will. He works with our will, which is a whole other series. You can look back into the archives of Time and My Soul that was exegeted by Dr. Breland. He talked about being time and the soul and the importance of the whole reasoning process and how God works with our reason. He says in his words back in Isaiah, cause us to reason together. And I wash your sins out as white as when we talked about cleansing us, reasoning with him. So it's important for us in our rehearsing to have objectives, and I suggest that you would do it according to seasons. So you have skill, and you have the spirit of it in the stage of the stage presence, how you look. And I go beyond clothing, but also to body language. We can be saying very scriptural words, power-packed, soul-stirring, as they say, words, but our body language and our clothing can totally throw off a message. We are very as humanity, we communicate in various forms. We communicate verbally, we communicate nonverbal. And the nonverbal can outweigh the verbal as well as the verbal nonverbal. You can look, have a pleasant look about you, but say the most harshest words and it affects someone negatively, or vice versa. You can have the most pleasant words, but your body language shows to them that you, it looks or appears that you don't mean what you say, and it can affect them negatively. And it's also for the positive. We communicate in both forms, and it's important for us to structure that form. So without rehearsing, all that should be incorporated, not just knowing the notes, the keys, and the dynamics, or the choreographed movements for the choir, but actually the representation that we exude. Consider the glory of God, the Spirit of God. Are the songs what God wants for that to require the same? I believe that every local church has a song, if you will, that is theirs and God's. There's a song or a sound that God desires for that particular church because of the persons that ministry is called to. This is about the family of God and what He wanted from the beginning, ultimately. The big picture is what He wanted from the beginning, and the whole, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So we're involved in the process of reconciling man back to God. So if there's a ministry call specifically for new converts, evangelizing, getting people right off the street, bringing them in, developing them, getting their minds renewed, and building them up, and then they become leaders who do the same thing, and there's a multiplying effect. The song and the ministry, even outside of music ministry, when we're talking about music ministry, every song, every aspect of the music department should be geared towards that vision. So the song should be so attention-catching, and not as we've thought for many years now, where it has to have a certain edgy sound, a street sound. That's not even, it's bigger than that, it's deeper than that. There should be a sound of evangelism where the message and the anointing or the power behind it grabs the heart gently, but with a loving force. When they come to God, they say, I've got to serve this God because there is a message in the music. There is a message in the dance. There's a message in the skit or the theater, the acting, the depicting of a story. That's what you're doing when you're acting. You're depicting a story, depicting a message. And a person depicts a message to the degree where evangelism is able to operate. If you're a church that is geared, that is more of an apostolic church or a church that develops ministries, your particular overseer is called to developing ministries, building strong churches. Over and over and over again, many churches, many churches, many churches. The music ministry should be doing that in that way, where the song identifies this one, where there are two leaders, not a bunch of music that would be for babes or for those who haven't really achieved a certain degree of grace and glory and a degree of faith in their walk, where they're actually leaders. I went to a seminar, I believe it was up here, 2007, where the minister of music is actually in this area, outstanding minister of music. He sang songs that were so fitting for that particular seminar. It was a pastor's seminar. Everyone there was in some type of pastor's form or executive leadership position, and the worship was just awesome. It was wonderful. It was very glorious, very glorious. He was just, he didn't have to do any pumping or priming. He knew not even to try to do that because he was in the presence of leaders. So it was no need to pump or prime or say or explain how to praise. He expected that they knew how to praise. And he really did an excellent job. According to what I saw and observed, he came in, sang the song, and the Spirit of God was able to immediately start to move on the hearts of the pastors who had really extended themselves and needed a refreshing. It was a very refreshing service from the point of praise and worship. And so when the seminar speaker came up, he in fact gave noted the fact that the minister of music just came right in on the glory cloud and was able to usher in the presence of the Lord effectively to where the speaker had no problem getting up and speaking what the Lord had put on his heart to say to the pastors. It was an awesome session, and I'm not saying the music made it that awesome session, but it contributed greatly. I need to put a disclaimer out there, for lack of a better word, that I am not one to replace the spoken word of God with any art form. Now, if the Spirit leads for a particular service to go that route and no one speaks but there's just worship, I've seen that, then that's how he will know. It's his church. But I'm not one to say that we can substitute the art ministry in for the spoken word. It's not biblical. Doing that consistently is not biblical. We see what Paul talks about, speaking to one another in Psalms, and the spiritual calls. He also talks about preaching to the point where they would come up in their faith, go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. The word which we speak, the spirit of faith, the word which we speak, we believe, therefore we speak. The spoken word is necessary for the worship setting, and I believe the music part, the art part, is very necessary. It falls into the category of, I believe, health administration, as well as exhortation. There is an edification that comes in the worship setting when the minister of music is able to minister to the congregation through the Spirit of God, or the dance team is able to minister to the congregation, depicting in an art form that was created by God himself. He created in us the various communication forms that we have, the body language, the speaking verbally, the nonverbal, all of it he created in us. I believe that these expressions are our byproduct or our seeds, our offspring of what he placed in us. It's an expand of the knowledge and the wisdom that he put in us from the beginning. It comes from within our spirit, and it's important for us to keep that in our minds and keep that objective in us. It's when we try to do external it, where we look outwardly, fleshly, for a guide or compass to how we do our ministry in the arts. It's important for us to go from the inside out, operate in the ministry according to the proportion of our faith that Scripture says, and that applies to us in music ministry and in the arts. We act according to the proportion of our faith. We sing according to the proportion of our faith. We play whatever instrument it is according to the proportion of our faith. We sing according to the proportion of our faith. And dance according to the proportion of our faith, according to his will.